Let's see. Do we? Oh, there's Alice. Okay. Good evening, everyone. The time is now 5:02 p.m., and I am calling to order the December 2022 hearing of the Beacon Hill Architectural Commission. It is December 15th, 2022. My name is Mark Kiefer. I'm the chair of the commission, and others. Other commissioners present this evening include Vice Chair Arian Allen, Commissioner Ed Fleck, Commissioner Alice Richmond. Am I missing anyone else who's just joined?
Don't see them.
Okay.
Oh, Ed's here. Sorry.
yes, I've got Ed.
Okay.
Great. Today, Commission will be holding a public hearing to review applications in accordance with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts executive order suspending certain provisions of the open meeting law, including the July 16th, 2022 amendment, extending the suspension of these provisions until March 31st, 2023. We are conducting this meeting online, otherwise known as Zoom, to ensure public access to deliberations of the Beacon Hill Architectural Commission. The public may access this call through telephone and video conferencing. Again, we mean Zoom. This hearing, as you probably heard, is being recorded. All further conversations between commissioners should therefore be audible to the public in attendance until the hearing is adjourned. And at this point, we'd like to acknowledge any media or elected officials. I think I saw Dan Murphy there.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Dan. Thanks for joining us. Any other media or elected officials present this evening? Okay. If you do join, if anyone does join, just let us know. We'll acknowledge you. Members of the public will have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions, and we will let you know as we adjudicate each application when we have reached the public comment period. If you want to be heard on the record, please raise your hand in quotes. It not physically like this, but in the Zoom application, and Nick has some handy instructions on the screen right now as to how to do that. If you're not entirely familiar with the Zoom, there's a row of buttons at the bottom and so forth, and there's a reactions one and or in participants at the bottom. And if you have any trouble figuring this out or doing this or don't seem to be getting through, you can always message Nick in the chat, the Zoom chat, that is, at any time, and he will help you out. But if you want to be heard on the record, you don't want to just put comments in the chat. You need to raise your hand in the Zoom, and we will acknowledge you. And again, we'll let you know during each application when we are ready to receive public comments. We'll re repeat the instructions if needed. And again, any trouble, just ask Nick in the comments. let's see. Okay, I think we are ready to begin. The first item on the agenda, we actually have a violation to deal with, and then the design review hearing. But in the interest of, I think it would make sense. It's the same address, the same building, 107 Chestnut Street, number 2. And I think the outcome of the adjudication of the application for the new trellis could have some bearing on what we do about the violation. So I would propose that we hear both of those items together. If there's no objection, we'll go forward. I see Gene Clapp there. Gene, are you here to represent 107 Chestnut number 2?
Well, I'm here to participate, but no, Monica Pawley and Richard Bignataro are going to make the presentation. Thanks.
Okay, great. Well, welcome, Gene. And are the arch now there's Monica. Hi, Monica. And Richard, I see down there as well.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening. Do you want to go ahead and tell us what you to give us your presentation? Monica, I think you're muted.
Sorry about that.
There you go.
Thank you all. Good evening. And like you said, we have two parts. One is the old violation of an old floodlight. And the major portion is that our clients, Jean and Meredith, desire a little bit of privacy. And all of the neighbors along Mugar Way and Storrow Drive have some type of a fence. And as you can see in the attached photographs, There are a variety of fences and walls, and they are usually pretty tall. The existing brick wall is only 5'2" high, I believe. And yes, and it allows the pedestrians to basically see in into the garden. And Jean and Meredith would love to have a little bit more privacy. And we were debating whether we would like to ask for a fence as tall as the neighbors, which is 8 feet, but then we felt that it would be a little too tall and it may be more user-friendly to ask for a fence that's only 25.5 inches taller than existing, which is about 7'3", 3.5". And we do have a little red rope as a mock-up, which Richard can show later for those of you who did not have a chance to see it. But this is pretty much what we are proposing. And we would like to use a wood fence so it matches the neighbors and it's the same color and texture as most of the fencing nearby. It will conceal a beautiful trellis facing the garden. We at one point contemplated going all the way to the in front of the neighbors, but they were not interested because they have a deck behind the lattice work. So they have privacy. So they were very supportive of our proposal, but they did not care to extend it in front of their unit. So this is why we are returning the trellis work along the property line. And we are proposing to just leave that as an open trellis work with a gate for access from one garden to the other. And so this is what we are showing here on these two elevations. And that's, and we are maintaining the top of the wall with the serrated metal pieces. We found out to our surprise that they're not very old. They only date to maybe 2014. We found pictures on Google Earth that showed they were not there before. And all of these additions also are not very old. They are probably from the 80s when this became condominiums. So any of this architecture that we're hiding a little bit is not really original. So we feel that this should work well for our clients and not be compromising the integrity of this building.
Monica, one quick question. Since you can't really quite tell from this elevation, so you just mentioned that you're retaining those metal pieces on the top of the wall. Does that mean that this fence and the trellis behind it are in fact, okay, you can, are they in the same plane as the fence next door or are they sort of behind it a little bit?
Actually behind, because actually this section where you see on the left, section one, we would be a little bit behind. You can't really see it on the photo montage from the street, but yes, we would be sort of respecting the coping of the wall, so and the finish of it.
Great. Oh, but it looks like the fence next door is actually a little bit behind the wall
A little bit behind. Yes.
Okay. While you have this image up, that's a perfect segue to my next question. The elevation that you just showed, I wonder if it, in fact, it distorts a little bit what you see from this sort of across the street perspective, across Mugar Way, because in your photograph with the rendering, it's not clear that the floodlight would be visible.
Actually, it would mostly be not visible. We can share a picture of our little mock-up. It might be visible from the bridge and other very far locations, but not for a pedestrian on the sidewalk and not even across Mugerway. I even stepped across the Mugerway and it's still not visible.
Okay, can you show us that other illustration that you said you had with the mock-up?
Yes, I can share the screen, my screen if you'd like. I have the mock-up, a picture of the mock-up there.
Was that you, Eugene? Or who's going to
share? That's Richard. That's Richard.
Okay. Yes. All right. Go for it.
Okay, so you can see this. Sorry, that is the wrong one. Can you see this image now?
Yeah, we can see it.
Great. So this line here, this faint yellow line, is a piece of rope we're using as the mock-up. So you can see it dips a little bit, so it's probably slightly higher. But here's the it's a little blurry. But there's the floodlight, and here is the line of the mock-up, which, like I said, is dipping a little bit, so it's probably slightly higher. And this is across from you.
It's across where actually nobody walks.
Right. Which is to say, Monica, if one was closer, like on the sidewalk between the wall and that car, it would be less visible because you're looking.
It would not be visible, right? Yeah. I don't know, Richard, if we have such a view it's sort of like this.
Yeah. So here's the, if you're right up on the fence, this is the new fence line.
Oh, that's very helpful. Yeah. Yep. That's quite helpful. And then with respect to the floodlight, forgive me if I've just not understood the application, but you are, apart from the violation that's been issued for a floodlight that's on the building now, are you requesting as part of your application to replace the floodlight with another one?
We're asking for advice what to do, considering that it will not be as prominent as it is now, whether we should change it to a black floodlight or should we put like a little cover over it. And of course, keeping in mind that if one walks along the sidewalk, it would not be visible. And also that there was a floodlight there for at least 20 years that was not attractive, and then it broke and the contractor replaced it. So.
Okay. I mean, I think, of course, the preference would be to just kind of make it go away from the perspective of the what you can see from the public way. So it sounds like, if you even move it down a little bit by what would appear to be even a couple of inches, you might just solve the problem entirely. With respect to the potential visibility, like you said, from the footbridge or something like that. I mean, we just had an application within the last 2 months for, property on Beaver Place that's closer to the footbridge, I think, and has some similar, somewhat industrial fixtures on the back, and I think we kind of concluded that the visibility from the footbridge is pretty de minimis, given the distance. Could you just make it a little lower, and then you could do whatever you want with it?
Absolutely, and Gene, the one question is that there might be a junction box left over.
Yeah, there is a junction box there, which, would be there even if there weren't a light. As Monica said, there was a floodlight. It broke and our contractor put in the new one. And, the other possibility would be to put some kind of a cover over it. Again, the lighting is directly downward. This light does not cast light anywhere except in the little garden. And so, something that looks like a copper or wood vent cover, we're happy to put on. So, you don't see it at all, but that raises other possibilities. But we're happy to cover it because, again, the light is directed downward and does not travel beyond the property line.
Right.
Can I just ask a question about that? I know it's not exactly my term. It's Alice Richmond. So that's not a sensor light, Gene?
Yeah, it's a sensor light. When you go out there, the light goes on for when you move it, and then it goes off 20 seconds later. So it's a sensor light. So that
it doesn't go up and down. It doesn't come onto the sidewalk.
No. But okay. If someone were to crawl over the fence, which would be much less possible with the proposed trellis, it does, trigger a light for security mm-hmm. reasons, and also for our own convenience back there, just so we have light. So again, but if we were to move it, we're still stuck with a flush mounted junction box. And so then we'd be adding conduit if we lowered it. That creates other aesthetic issues, perhaps.
Yeah. Is there any other color but white for that light?
There's black and white. And so if we could replace it, we could also try to paint it the color of the surface. But black is the other available color.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Sure.
So again, it sounds like it's a significant amount of visibility is going to go away with the, again, we haven't fully adjudicated the addition of the trellis, but if the trellis were to be the fence and the trellis were to be installed, it looks like the visibility would be very significantly reduced. Okay, why don't we then come back to that? Do the commissioners have any other questions about either the floodlight violation issue or the proposed fence and trellis before we take public comment?
I had one question, Mark. Ed Fleck. Yeah, go ahead. Just for geometric purposes, the proposed trellis was, I heard, 5'3" and 25 inches is roughly 7 feet something.
7'3½, but of course, yeah.
I mean, 7'3½, fine. And then the floodlight that we're talking about is how far off, what elevation off the sidewalk, so they're comparable.
It appears to be maybe just 2 inches higher than that, but with the angle that one has walking along the sidewalk, it would be completely concealed.
Right. So for all intents and purposes, you have to be 7 feet tall or taller to actually see the light from the sidewalk.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. So yeah, it sounds extremely de minimis to me.
Yeah.
As far as visibility.
Okay.
Way. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, why don't we take public comment? Again, if you want to be heard on the record, please raise your hand in the Zoom and Nick will acknowledge you and unmute you, I think, as necessary. Does anyone
want to comment? All right, so first up we have is Rochelle with the Civic Association. Rochelle, go ahead.
We're doing both fence and floodlight together?
Yes. Okay.
Yes, please.
Okay, so I'll start in the order of the fence. So for the design review item, our comment is we support the application as submitted. For this application, we reference the following district guidelines: A3 per general. Proposals for new work shall be based on evidence of appropriate detail with regard to size, shape, material, and design. And then for the violation hearing, we have the comment is we support ratification upon approval of the rear fence height increase at the next agenda item under design review, which follows. See photographs at the end of the comment that show the fence mock-up in place and current visibility of the floodlights. If floodlights remain visible, we suggest it either be painted to match the oriel window or enclosed in a color-matched wooden or copper shroud. For this application, we reference the following district guidelines. E6, for doors and entries, exterior lighting shall be in traditional locations. The design of these fixtures shall be of an appropriate size and style. End of comment.
Terrific. Thanks so much, Rochelle. I do not see any other public comments for this application, so we can go ahead and turn it back to you, Mark.
Sorry about that. Any further discussion on either the fence or floodlight.
Yeah, I just have a quick question. Nick, do you have a recommendation on this?
Yeah, so staff recommends approval with provisos that the light fixture is removed and the wall surface is repaired. The light fixture can be relocated to a location that's not visible from areas within our purview, and that the fence is raised to a similar height as the neighbors with posts that are of equal intervals seen on the neighbor's property.
If the light is as suggested, so once the fence goes up, if that's what we agree to, you can't see the light, do you still have that recommendation?
As long as the light's not visible from areas within our purview. Correct. Yes.
And it sounded to me, I mean, maybe I'm a little confused, but it sounded to me like if the fence goes up, you're not going to be able to see it from areas within our purview. Isn't that right?
Yes, if that's the case, correct. Okay. Yeah, I'm saying that I don't want it. I recommend that it's not visible from areas within our purview is what I'm saying. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Nick.
Yep. You're welcome.
And then just to make sure, so you want them to take down the light first, then put up the fence, and then put the light back up to make sure that we can't see anything, right?
As long as the light is not visible from anywhere within our purview is my recommendation, correct?
Yeah, but just to be clear, I don't think we're suggesting, maybe just got to the quick here. I think the applicant has demonstrated that were the fence to be installed to the specifications indicated in the application, the visibility from a public way of the floodlight as it is, as it's currently installed, would be de minimis, which is to say there would be no visibility from the portion of Bugar Way upon which anyone might actually walk or even drive, that you would have to go across the street, which you wouldn't no one would ever do, to see it at all, or up on the Fiedler footbridge from which it would be visible only minimally and only from a great distance. And so I think that, at least to my mind, is the definition of de minimis with respect to visibility. In respect to the floodlight. I think to further address that, it sounds like the applicant is willing to paint it the same color as if that's possible. I think that would further help address any lingering concerns about any margin of visibility that might remain. So that sounds like a simple and easy solution, I think.
So I have a procedural question. I'm going to move the allowance of the request. And we need a different motion to address the violation.
So the applicant, I can take this, Mark, if that's okay.
Yeah.
So great question, Alice. So the applicant did submit details for the ratification of the violation in their application, so it would just be one recommendation or one motion.
Okay. What is the best way, Nick, for me to phrase that?
In terms of like a motion to approve with the provisos of, you know, accepting the. I mean, whatever.
Okay, so I move acceptance of the application for the higher fence as described this evening and in the application, and assuming that the visibility of this light that was in violation is de minimis from the street, that the violation be remedied by the allowance of this building of the fence.
Perfect, Alice.
Okay, do we have a second on the motion?
A second.
Okay, any further discussion on the motion before we vote?
Mark, can I ask a question? Yes,
please, go ahead, Gene.
Gene Clapp. The materials, especially the trellis materials, could take, even if we ordered it tomorrow, 6 to 9 months to receive. And so, you know, as an interim or even as a permanent solution, again, with a downlight purpose of the light, I mean, we're happy to put an enclosure either in copper or wood to just cover it up and that would become part of, I mean, but as a architectural remedy is, I know it was mentioned and discussed as a possibility, but to us, that might be the easiest thing to make the violation disappear sooner than the installation of the trellis. And would that be considered to be an additional remedy included in the motion?
So Jean, let me just say that I think with respect to covering it up, I do not feel as a commissioner that I need to be involved in that. So maybe what we could do, Mr. Chair, is refer that issue that Mr. Clapp has just raised to the staff. And if Nick thinks that solution is acceptable in the interim or, working with the owner, I'm fine with that.
Staff is fine with that also.
Okay. Do you want to just add an amendment to your motion to reflect that?
Oh, of course. Of course. And that further, that the owner shall work with staff to determine whether or not there can be a covering for the light, which is appropriate to the area and which is acceptable to the staff on behalf of the Beacon Hill Architectural Commission.
Okay, thanks. Do we have a second to the amended motion?
Second it.
Okay, thanks. Any further discussion on the motion? Okay, we will vote. Commissioner Allen.
Aye.
Mr. Fleck.
Aye.
Commissioner Kiefer votes aye. Commissioner Richmond.
Aye.
Okay, the application is approved. Thank you very much, all of you, for your time, for coming in, and you'll get a letter from Nick with the details.
Thank you so much.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, so let's see. Next on the agenda is 5 West Cedar Street.
Patrick, are you here?
Oh, very good. Do you want to tell us what you want to do?
Well, sure. also, the owners are here as well.
Hello.
And this is a exterior, mostly a restoration project. And a lot of this is actually coming under staff and administrative review.
But yeah, so why don't you just tell us about the, by all means, give us the context, but we only need to talk about the stuff that's in the design review portion, just FYI, for the moment.
Like, oh, exactly. But since some of it ties into some of the physical work that's being done down below, currently has a 3-tab asphalt shingle roof, which is, like all of those, in fantastic condition. That's getting replaced with slate. We have an existing 19th century skylight, which is pretty fatigued. And with all of the roof work, we're going to be replacing that with a duplicate of that skylight. It'll be a copper frame, same dimensions, same divided glass, etc. New copper gutters on the building. We're doing that with a consistent Boston gutter profile, which there are 3 different sets of gutters on the building. This makes them all consistent. And then again, there's sort of a desperate sizing and shaping on some of the downspouts. So we're going to make those all consistent at a 3-inch round. The existing are 3-inch. In dimension, we're doing window restoration. So all the sash are going to remain, but there have been several that were restored fairly recently. And on the others, we're going to take a pretty light touch because most of them have survived pretty well. There are a couple that look to be original sash, and then some others which are mid to later 19th century, but still pretty old and functional. So we're just hanging on to those. And some of the rest of it's related to the roof work. Right now, there's a nice 3-4-inch wide white aluminum rake trim along the gable end. That'll be switched out for copper. I may have left out a couple of details on these administrative reviews, but we are starting at the top and working our way down. And of course, if you've seen 5 West Cedar Street right now, you also know that, thanks to the commission, we were able to go in and do emergency repairs. The facade was literally peeling away from the building. And in lieu of doing a strip down and reconstruction of all of that facade, we're actually working with the historic bricks in place and tying the whole facade back together in its slight repose. So some of the interesting contours that have developed over time will still be there, but it will all be stable and we've knit the whole facade back together. So that brings us up to the application and then the things under for design consideration. If I could, I'd like to start back up at the top around the roof. And we're proposing to change the, and I have my, here. So what the sheet called BHAC number 8, I want to start with the downspout conductors. And so the goal is to take the funnel-shaped ones. There's one on West Cedar, and then there's one around the corner on Acorn Street. The one on Acorn Street is shared with, it's almost on the neighbor property line, and that one's really battered. They are sort of conical in shape, but pretty pragmatic. We'd like to replace them with something that's going to echo a little bit more the gutter profile. This is showing a conductor on the existing photo that's only receiving one downspout. We have one that receives two. I prefer the square shape for receiving those downspouts. I think it's a better conveyance of the water flow coming in. And I've looked back at some earlier catalogs, like really early King architectural sheet metal, et cetera. And this sort of Georgian Federal-ish sort of style shows up. So it's not crafted whole cloth, but just looking to, again, unify a lot of the, some of the disparate features on the house. So then moving down, let's see. Yeah, let's go down to the next sheet. Again, being familiar with the property, Acorn Street is on one side, and then there's a very narrow alley. It's about 3'6" wide. During the course of our work, I was noticing that there is a plastic dryer vent, and then I think the next sheet, Nick. And then there's a elegantly crafted PVC vent pipe sticking out, and that one's about 6 feet off of the alley. As inherited features, they are not what Brian and Kate really are interested in having as their the face of their house on the alley. So the proposal there is to simply replace them with a copper hood scaled appropriately. And these two drawings show the different scales. There is actually one that's almost at grade, which exists on Acorn Street. So on this house, it has been sort of a precedent to do the copper vent covers. And certainly this isn't the PVC is not a precedent we want to continue on the house. Okay. Thanks for bearing with me on this as I navigate through. Can we go to BHAC 11? And this is going to talk about paint colors. presently, the shutters are black, and we were looking at the trim on the windows and the window sash themselves. And the woodwork does need painting, so we're going to paint it. And I did a full cross section by gouging out some of the historic window, but I got a good cross section of the paint on the sash, and it has striations of black in it. So it's a white, off-white, black, muddled black and some cream colors. So we'd just like to actually use that as the black as a consistent exterior wood trim color. So it'd be the shutters, the sash, the brick mold, and then there's the roof terrace has a lattice around it right now. So we use the same color there. So the difference would be that the sash and the brick mold would now match the shutters. The front door, it may be a flat black now, but we'd like to take that to a Haig blue Hague being just the Farrow and Ball label. We went and we had a discussion with the Beacon Hill Homeowner Association and Civic Association. And they had actually done some research on paint colors, looking at the Hague blue, and had come up with some additional matches. And we were quite delighted because this is pretty close to an old California paints, historic paint collection that I think was still called Historic New England paint collection. So they had a Standish blue, which this is very close to. And it's also similar to one of the Benjamin Moore historic colors as well. So pretty close. Our intent was just to find a color that we thought was a nice 19th century inspired color. So that was pretty delightful. And then the basically just changing the off-white that is currently on the door surround and trim from a creamish white to a creamish white that goes really well with the Hague blue. So those are the paint colors. So it's a three color paint scheme, and two of them are at the door and the door surround. Okay. Let's go to 13. At the alley door. So this is, well, it's probably 12 or 13 feet back from the sidewalk on West Cedar Street. And so looking back down the alley towards the kitchen door, the idea is to replace the lantern, which is up over the door lintel, with a lantern, which is down lower, but gives better illumination to the door and to the door lock, you know, just for key operation. And it's a little less prevalent and in view. And starting, you know, looking at the lantern design and looking for something that with some lower wattage bulbs would still provide decent illumination at the door for egress and safety. This lantern, it projects about 6 inches. Okay. And then let's go to the front door.
Sorry, Patrick, what page was that?
That's the last one, 16.
16, okay.
Yep. Okay, so we have an existing door. It's got some integral metal lapped weather stripping, which I've seen, you know, it starts to really show up around the turn of the 20th century on doors. Real eclectic. I think you've probably seen this a lot on Beacon Hill, where somebody installs one dead bolt and then there's another one that's installed. It's got a really big mail slot and then a kick plate across the bottom. And we'd like to basically replace the door hardware on the door, a new door number, new knocker. And although these illustrations are showing something in a polished chrome, the finish of everything that would go on the door would be a burnished brass, and then it would be an unlacquered brass. So it would be up to Kate and Brian to polish it to keep a shine on it. It's a pretty large linear door knocker on the door presently. And then it has a rat tail thumb latch, and a lot of the paints come off that, and that's just a soft steel hardware piece. So that's a reproduction piece. And also, if you the latching mechanism on the interior, they had to rabbit out the door jamb to actually get the hook on there, and it also doesn't work. You can't get the door to close or have that engage. You basically need to use a key in the deadbolt and pull, and then engage the deadbolt to get the latch to work. So, you know, being interested in security and having functional hardware, and also in the neighborhood, it's a knob is a preferred device for the owners for operating the door. And when we were looking at doors and door hardware, a local survey, West Cedar Street, a little bit up Mount Vernon and around, you come back about 50-50 on the knobs or the door latches. The proposed knob, again, I think that the polished chrome makes it look more modern and newer than it than the style really is. And in the burnished brass, I think it could be handsome, but I also don't think it would be as stark a difference from other knobs on the hill and in the neighborhood.
Patrick, on that point, do you have an example of what the finish would look like? Is that what we're looking at here? Yeah, right in the middle.
Yeah, you're looking at that after it's been. I mean, that's been polished, so that's in the sales literature. And then you can imagine Kate actually had shared. And Kate, do you have that photo from the showroom? There's just one that's been handled. And if we can share that, I think you can imagine where that would go. Okay. So Nick, that would just be Kate sharing.
Oh, okay. Let's see here. Kate Perry.
Yep. Catherine.
Oh,
yep.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Go for it. Oh, you're muted.
Sounds like she was going to upload it to the chat.
I'm going to upload it to chat so everybody can see it. Does that work?
That's fine. Yep. And I can display it on my computer.
It's great. One from the showroom, so it hasn't been outside, but you'll see how it's changed from people handling it.
Sure. And while she's doing that, Patrick, do you know how old the existing door knocker is?
How old the existing door knocker is?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's a it's not an uncommon design. I think there are probably some that may be similar in the area, but you know, if you go up Acorn Street, you also find acorns that are as door knockers. So sometimes that's a little too on the nose, but
in terms of how old it is, like, is it original to the door?
It could have been put on in the early 20th century. When the door went in, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Early 20th century. Well, that's.
So why are we replacing them? I'm curious.
Well, the deadbolts don't. I mean, the deadbolts are like Quick Lock or Schlage deadbolts. So first of all, for security, you want to replace those with new locks. The thumb latch, you know, it's a soft metal or a soft steel latch. So that's not even brass or bronze. And you know, presently that's not functioning well. And in the end, it's not terribly secure either. It is just a rat tail latch. The mail slot is wider than is necessary. It kind of dominates the door. And then the kick plate doesn't have a historic precedent to it. And I think it kind of detracts from the door anyway. So that comes off and then we can repair the wood on the door. Recalling where this is at the bottom of Acorn Street and it's right at grade. I mean, there's no stoop here. So we do need to get some. I mean, that door needs to have repair. There's some woodwork to do on the trim around it as well.
And then just one more quick question. There we go. So that's kind of the polish. Am I showing? Can you guys see that? Is it displaying?
No.
Okay. There you go. How about that?
There you go.
Yeah.
And what is the original door? Like, I'm curious. So the ones that we think might possibly have been made with the door itself, what do the originals look like?
I don't think they're original to the building.
No.
Yeah, the door is not original. I think you had already represented, Patrick. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a replacement door. Yeah. You know, it's got rabbited in metal, you know, sort of that interlocking weather stripping.
Right.
I mean, so at least the door and its frame have been replaced over time. I mean, it's 20th century door.
Okay. Yeah, so we don't have any reason to believe this is like the original hardware or anything like that.
No. That's why I kept saying soft steel on the on the thumb latch, because that's not wrought iron. It's not bronze, and the paint's worn off and it's rusty. So it's a reproduction of something,
right? But it's not original. Yeah. Yep. Okay, that's helpful.
And let's see here. Why am I not able to do this? All right. And while we're discussing this, there was a good question in the chat. Is there any plans for any new type of electronic doorbell, like a Ring or anything like that?
Do you have one that you approve?
No, we're just letting you know that is required for approval. You have to present that. You can't just install them, which is an issue that we're seeing in the neighborhood. So.
Okay. No, there are no plans to do that.
Okay. For whatever reason, it's not letting me share. Let's see here.
Oh, is that the photo of the hardware with the door with the the slot head screws?
Yeah. Sorry.
We don't know anything that's not original.
All right. So I'm just gonna.
That was a joke.
I got it, Alice. I'm just in. There we go. Okay, thank God. All right, cool. Anything else, Patrick, before we turn it over to the commissioners?
Nothing. Kate, Brian.
So, can y'all hear me?
Yep.
There was some feedback we received from the Civic Association about this size of the number, and so we are proposing to use a 3-inch number, and it'll be a number 5, not a number 6. that was just what they had available. Yeah, thank you.
Guy across the street probably appreciates that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay. anything else? By the way, let the record reflect, please, that Commissioner Ralph Jackson has joined the meeting. Welcome, Ralph. Sorry if you had a little trouble getting in there. And I hope we didn't inadvertently leave you out of the discussion of the last one. I just saw you on there now. But thanks for joining. Okay, any other questions from the commissioners about the presentation before we take public comment?
I just want to comment about the care that the presenter and the owners have taken on the details. I really appreciate that.
Right. Mr. Chairman, I get just a question, a procedural question. There's a segment that's in the design review, and then as you had pointed out, there's a segment of subject-specific line items related to administrative review. Do we want to very specifically target just the design review subjects, or do we want to have them bleed into each other? How do you want to
let's just address the portion that's in design review at this point, and if there are any questions with respect to the items that have been delegated to administrative review, we can address those at the time when we look at those applications later in the hearing.
Great. Just so everybody's following the same guideline. Thank you.
Okay, and seeing no further questions or comments from the commission, why don't we take public comment? Again, if you want to be heard on the record, just raise your hand in the Zoom using your Zoom controls. If you have any issues on that, just message Nick in the chat. He will acknowledge you. I see Rochelle there.
Okay, you're stealing my job, Mark, but Rochelle, yes, go ahead.
Okay, we support the application with the following changes, provisos. Door hardware should be maintained unless proven to be beyond repair, and we believe some of the hardware may be repairable or reusable. See photographs at the end of the document we submitted. We support updating the knocker and historic latch handle if necessary. If hardware is beyond repair, replacement should replicate existing or be traditional, such as the door knocker changing to a hoop style. The proposed knob is very modern. We suggest a simple smooth sphere or other traditional options, preferably maintaining the latch handle style. We offer neighboring examples at 7 West Cedar and 10 West Cedar Street. See photographs of these addresses at the end of the document, as well as the up close shots of the hardware. Proposed living finished brass means unlacquered brass, which is preferred. The new address number is quite large. We suggest numbers which fit within the door crossrail. Door color, Hag Blue matches Benjamin Moore Historic Collection swatch of Newburgh Green HC-158 and a historic New England color chart swatch of Stanish Blue that is appropriate to Greek Revival buildings from this period. See photographs of paint color comparison and on-site mock-up at the end of this document. Windows. Windows are currently painted white, which is traditional with black shutters. However, applicant has physical evidence of windows painted a dark color in the past, as well as an 1890 photograph supporting. We support the change to black with presentation of historical evidence. For the kitchen door light, we consider the light fixture very large for the narrow shared walkway, though we support the new location. We support choosing a smaller fixture for the location. Applicant states all through holes are drilled through mortar, and the entire building is being repointed, so any repairs would be concurrent. We recommend an electric bulb with Kelvin's or Lumen's specification that is appropriate for Beacon Hill, 2700 to 3000 Kelvin or 900 lumens. Please see photographs of visibility of this rear side facade at the end of this document. We support updating plastic vent covers with copper. We support downspout updates as described. For this application, we reference the following district guidelines. A2 per general, in the event that replacement of existing materials or features is necessary, the new material shall match the materials being replaced in composition, design, color, texture, and other visible qualities. A3 per general, proposals for new work shall be based on evidence of appropriate detail with regard to size, shape, material, and design. A9 per general, equipment such as HVAC components or mechanical electrical installations must be installed in such a manner that they are not visible from a public way. C2 per roofs, material used for roofing repairs, including downspouts, shall duplicate the original materials or match appropriate existing materials. E1 per doors and entries, original or historic elements, including hardware, shall be retained unless demonstrated to be beyond repair, in which case they shall be duplicated in the same material and style. E5 per doors and entries, replacement door hardware shall replicate the original or be of an appropriate design. E6 per doors and entries, exterior lighting shall be in traditional locations. The design of these fixtures shall be of an appropriate size and style. G1 per paint, when exterior painting is necessary, paint colors shall be original or otherwise historically appropriate. Paint sample shall be submitted to the commission for approval. End of comment.
Okay, thanks so much, Rochelle. Next up, we have Rob Whitney. Rob, go ahead.
On my nightstand, underneath the REI thing.
Go ahead, Rob.
No, I'm sorry, Nick. Thanks. No, I only had two comments, quick ones. One is on the door hardware, I just wanted to follow what Rochelle said. Obviously, it's sometimes hard to tell on door hardware, but my guess is a lot of that hardware pre-exists the creation of the historic district, and it's hard to tell when exactly it was there. I think there really needs to be a good reason to replace it. However, if you're going to try to replace it, as Rochelle mentioned, you know, look towards more original hardware or hardware that duplicates more closely what would have been, you know, when the home was first constructed, not a more modern interpretation of that. The only other comment I have is with respect to the light fixture that's proposed for the alley doorway. My recollection, I don't have the numbers in front of me, I'm in my car, that under the guidelines, the preference typically is for overhead lights hanging on a pendant or a pendant light above a door, not on the side. I think that's what this is, if I'm not mistaken, by looking at the picture. Putting it on the side appears to me to be unusual. And obviously it's a new fixture versus the one that's there already. And I'm not sure, it wasn't mentioned by the architect how old the fixture is. whether it's original or whether it predates the existence of the historic district. But I don't see why you need to replace it unless it's, there's some problem with it, or if you are, maybe replace it in kind in its current location and not which, you know, create the sort of new location, which obviously would require mortaring into the existing brick facade. Thanks, Nick.
You bet. Thank you, Rob. All right. Next up we have is Diana. Diana, go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thank you, Patrick. That was a great presentation, and it looks like you're using high quality materials. This is just my comment as a resident. I think I also have a glossy door. My only suggestion is that you paint it. I don't know. We didn't talk about like if you're going to spray it or paint it, but obviously, you know, this door is probably original. The home is from 1828, and I believe that painting it with a brush is more appropriate than sprayed. We're seeing some sprayed doors around the neighborhood, and it kind of can give a plasticky look. So that's my only comment, but thank you.
Thanks, Diana. Okay, I do not see any other public comments for this application, so we can close this portion of the review. So Mark, back to you.
Okay, thank you. And by the way, just for the record, since it's so it's on the record, the applicant, Catherine, has confirmed that they will paint it with a brush. Diana, thank you. okay, so, and with respect to the Civic Association's comments, just reiterating, the applicant has likewise confirmed that they will use a smaller number rather than what was originally proposed. The applicant and Patrick has, I think, established or confirmed, at least to my satisfaction, that this neither the door nor the hardware are original, particularly historic or otherwise important. To the, you know, such that they would require saving if they're at all still functional. I think it would be, frankly, too high a bar to require any hardware that is at all still functioning that was not otherwise historic or original to the building to be maintained. And that's certainly, I think, not been the consistent record of decision of this commission over the many years in which it's been adjudicating these applications. But let me just ask my fellow commissioners, I'm not especially troubled by the doorknob. It is, I suppose one could argue, you know, there are what could be called more modern aspects of the design, but it's not certainly radically different from versions I've seen that are actually original to buildings of this general period. Does anyone else have any, that seems to be a point of concern for a few folks. So with respect to the knob in particular, does anyone have any further thoughts about that?
I agree. I would love to hear what Nick has to say, because I mean, Nick, you went there. And, I mean, I'm dying to hear what you have to say, because I'm a little bit, if the doorknob is horrendous, or is the current doorknob just falling apart? What does the staff have to say?
Thank you, Arian. So Patrick actually has been working very closely with me, and we've had several site visits together, and we've went over this project with a fine-tooth comb. So first, I think the new property owners, they hired a great architect who knows exactly what he's doing. And you know, it's staff's opinion that the doorknob is similar enough to historic hardware that it, in my sense, we want to distinguish between historic hardware and non-historic hardware, and it matches the family. So this project, with the exception of the door number, which they've already addressed, I just recommend to approve as submitted.
Okay,
and so real quick though, I just want to clarify something in terms of lighting. So the lighting guideline is E6, which says exterior lighting shall be in traditional locations. The design of these fixtures shall be of an appropriate size and style.
So Nick, moving the fixture as suggested, is that something that you think is okay or not okay?
So I think it's okay because it is in a traditional location, but let's also not forget that these properties never had exterior electricity when they were originally built. Or didn't have electricity, period, when they were originally built. So, you know, we do have to accommodate for some modern conveniences. So I think this location is perfectly acceptable.
Okay, so I'm going to move acceptance of the application as submitted.
Do I hear a second? And by acceptance, you mean approval, Alice?
Yes, let me get this right. Yeah, thank you.
Did I just hear a second?
Yeah, the staff is backing it, and I'm comfortable with it then.
Okay, any commissioners, any other discussion on the motion?
I did have a question on, again, on the light location. The height of that, I think that it was 5 foot six. Was it where it was going to be located, the elevation? You know, what is that dimension?
The center line.
Given the narrowness of the alleyway, and it's quite narrow, maybe 30 inches at most, and the 6-inch protrusion from the wall, I mean, that's basically head height. So I just wondered about somebody catching that in the cheek walking by.
Patrick, we can't look at this from Google Street View because the previous owners requested that the property get blurred out. Can you comment on that? How many people actually use that tiny alley? Because I know it's a very limited amount of people.
Right. I mean, there are neighbors who go through there. I mean, they've also navigated it with staging up around it.
You've got a photo that shows that, right?
Yes, somebody could bump into it. But is the question more about how high to mount it off of the ground?
It's just part of the whole discussion about
yep.
the appropriateness of the location versus the centered over the jam, over the transom like it was. I can live with what's proposed, but I just wanted to raise that because I've been through there many times, not in the alley, but past it repeatedly, and it's a pretty tight passageway. So if people are using it at, you know, 10 o'clock at night to get the trash out for the next morning, I could easily see somebody catching it. I don't know if that's been a consideration.
Yes, we do. It does project into the alley. But it is only 6 inches. We have kept it as, you know, the most de minimis in something that is a lantern style lamp. Also, just really quickly to Robert's question. Yes, the light that's up there does not function. And it is wired with an A9 socket. So an A9 is a regular old light bulb. So it's a standard light bulb. So we're not, so it's whatever vintage okay. knows we're available. So.
Okay. So we have it has been duly moved and seconded that the application be approved as submitted. And we will therefore take a vote. Commissioner Allen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fleck.
Aye.
And has Commissioner Given joined the meeting? I know she was trying to get in.
I think she's here now. I think she just got in.
Okay. Annette, were you able to hear the discussion of this application?
I literally think she just got here. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Commissioner Allen voted yes. Commissioner Fleck, you said voted yes?
Correct.
Commissioner Fleck, okay. Commissioner Jackson?
Yes.
Commissioner Kiefer votes aye. Commissioner Richmond?
Aye.
Okay, the application is approved. Thank you very much for coming in. You get a letter from Nick with the details. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Patrick.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick.
And now, if I recall correctly, we have one more item on the same property, which is also five. Nope. What about the, is that not on the agenda anymore?
The roof deck?
Yes.
That's this one.
Oh, that's this one. Did I just read that wrong? Obviously I did. Okay. I think I saw Tim on here.
Yes. Yes. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Tim. How are you? Thanks for coming in. You want to just give us a little rundown of the issue here?
Yes, it's a matter of just a time. We just need a little more time, and the approval does expire early in 2023. So we'd like to have a 1 year extension, but we do plan to get the deck constructed this spring.
Okay, and so this is an application that staff has confirmed was previously approved. So you're not asking for twice. You're not asking for any changes from the most recent approval. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, we plan to build it just as it was approved previously. Yes.
Okay, and just procedural question, Nick. A certificate is normally good for 2 years. Is that correct?
Yep, it's good for 2 years and then expires and you're required to return to the commission. Unless you apply for your building permit, then it's good for the entirety of your building permit as your building permit is active. So.
Okay, so we can probably give you 2 years if you need it, Tim.
Okay. Certainly that would take some pressure off, but things do seem to take longer than ever these days. So.
right. Okay. Any questions on what's involved here from the commission before we take public comment on this?
I have a concern about the width of the area for stepping out of the I don't know what to call it.
The hatch, yeah.
Stepping out of the hatch. If you could stop sharing the screen for a moment.
Okay.
You've disabled the sharing, Nick.
Give that a shot.
For me, the challenge is the amount of room available for stepping out of the hatch and onto the deck.
Yes, I am looking to turn that 90 degrees, so we'll be stepping out onto the wide part of the deck, and okay. I share that concern as
great.
Well.
So, okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep. You're welcome.
And Tim, for confirmation, that's not visible from the street, and thus not in our purview. This is more Ralph, with his expertise as an architect, was the reason why he's asking. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Cool. Thanks, great. Ralph. It's a great question.
Okay, and I just wanted to make clear if I didn't at the outset that let the record reflect that Commissioner Given has joined the meeting for the adjudication of 51 Hancock Street. Okay, why don't we take public comment? Again, if you want to be heard on the record, please raise your hand in the Zoom. If you have any issues with that, contact Nick in the chat. Nick will acknowledge you in turn. Go ahead, Nick.
All right, Rochelle, go ahead.
Okay, while a portion of this roof deck is visible from a public way, this application has been approved twice by the commission. Therefore, we do not oppose the application as resubmitted on that basis. See photograph at the end of the document of the 2015 mock-up visibility, minimal amount visible from only one viewpoint at the corner of Hancock and Dern Streets included in the December 2020 application. But not in this one. For this application, we reference the following district guidelines. C3 per roofs, roof decks, and deck enclosures that are visible from a public way are inappropriate to the historic district. Opaque screening fences on roofs shall not be used. C5 per roofs, applicants proposing rooftop alterations or additions may be required to construct a mock-up for on-site review. End of comment.
All right, looks like that's the only public comment that we have for this application, so we can close it, and back to you, Mark.
Okay, I will move that the certificate of appropriateness for this application be amended to expire 2 years from the current expiration date.
Second.
Okay, any further discussion on the motion? Okay, we will vote. Commissioner Allen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fleck.
Aye.
Commissioner Given.
Aye.
Mr. Jackson.
Aye.
Mr. Kiefer votes aye. Commissioner Richmond.
Aye.
Okay, the application is approved. Thanks, Tim, for coming in. You got a letter from Nick.
All right, thank you very much. Have a good night. Yep.
Thanks, Tim. Thanks.
Okay, I think we are ready to discuss the administrative review section of the agenda. I did have one question, Nick.
Go for it.
I think it was the one we were just talking about, 5 West Cedar, because they are proposing to repoint. Is that right?
Correct.
Are you going to, as has been the custom, at least historically, require a sample that you would go look at in advance to make sure it's okay?
Already did.
You did. Great. Okay. Yep. There it is. Perfect. Thank you.
Yep.
I didn't see that. Beautiful. I don't think I saw that. So. Great. Okay. Any?
It's on the and for reference, Mark. Sorry, just to be so short, but it's on the Acorn Street side, on the side that's closest to the front door. So
right. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Any questions from my fellow commissioners on questions or comments, concerns on the administrative review items? Okay. Ralph, go ahead.
Well, I did. Pardon me. Mr. Chair, Nick, 10 West Cedar, I noticed this one, these are all new. I'm safe to assume that the discussion about the possibility of restoration happened and was deemed to be impractical?
Yes. I don't believe they are historic windows. Let me just refresh my memory.
Directly across the street from 5, so you might have been
okay. It's, let me just take a peek.
Painted black storm windows, screens.
10 West Cedar. Let's see. I just want to check out the existing conditions. These are not original to the building.
Thank you, sir.
Or I should redefine it as they are not historic, I should say, because we do take that into consideration if they're, yeah, so. And also this is, so that's.
Right, I would think strict originality wouldn't necessarily be the litmus test, but.
Exactly, right.
Thank you.
Yep.
Ralph, did you have a question or comment?
No.
Okay, wasn't sure if you're trying to jump in there before. Okay. Are there no further questions or comments from the commissioners, we'll take public comment. Does anyone want to be heard on the record with respect to the administrative review section of the agenda?
Seeing no comments, we can close public comment for this portion.
Okay, I move approval en masse of the applications under administrative review.
Second.
Okay, any further discussion on the motion? Okay, we'll vote. Commissioner Allen.
Aye.
Mr. Fleck.
Aye.
Mr. Given.
Aye.
Commissioner Jackson.
Aye.
Mr. Kiefer votes aye. Commissioner Richmond.
Aye.
Okay, great. Administrative review items are approved. So now I think we are to ratification of the November minutes. Does anyone have any revisions, questions, comments, concerns on the November 2022 hearing minutes? Okay, do I hear a motion to approve the November 17, 2022?
Approve.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay, we'll vote. Commissioner Allen.
Aye.
Mr. Fleck.
Aye.
Mr. Given.
Aye.
Commissioner Jackson.
Aye.
Commissioner Kiefer votes aye. Commissioner Richmond.
Aye.
Okay, great. Thank you. The November minutes are approved. And now we have discussion, review, and approval of the December 12th, 2022 intercom subcommittee results. Nick, do you want to tee this up for us?
I sure can. Yeah. So just for clarification, so we will not be voting tonight because we discussed that there's really nothing to vote on. So there are no changes to the guidelines, but I will be creating a graphic. Unfortunately, I did punt this over to our graphics team. They did not have the ability to create the graphic, but it will come. I'll get it as soon as I do. I'll forward it over to you, and then we'll review it as a commission. So that it can be posted on our website and then also handed off to our friends at the Civic Association. So let me just give a 30,000 foot overview of,
sure,
of what we discussed. And let's do a quick new share. I'm not going to go through the entire presentation, but you get the idea. Okay. Intercom Public Subcommittee. So the idea was that we would look at intercoms that are approved in both single family properties as well as multifamily properties. And what we've kind of established is that, you know, we're comfortable sending applications for buzzers and intercoms to administrative review, so long as they meet the guidelines of the district as it is today. So guideline E7 is listed here on the screen. And essentially, if all of these criteria are met, then we can move elements over to the administrative review rather than filling up the design review and creating somewhat lengthy hearing schedules. So the jury is essentially still out in terms of Ring and Nest doorbells because of the Aluminum 4. If they meet these current design guidelines, then they can go through under admin review. Unfortunately, many of them do not have the ability to remove the LED lights and backlit screens from the actual component there. So if they're not able to be dulled or turned off, or I should say, if they're not able to be turned off, we will still have to review them under design review, and we'll be creating a graphic to show that. And then some of the things that we discussed to include on the graphic are some of the elements that the commission has previously approved. So the number one buzzer here would be this one here for single family, and then moving over to multifamily. Many of the buzzers that you see on the right side here that don't have the illumination, but they do sometimes, they do have the components of multiple unit buttons, as well, some of them also have cameras. We understand now that cameras are important to the safety of the community, and so we should be reviewing these for appropriateness. But as long as there's no illumination to the screen, then we're okay with sending these over to administrative review. One of the elements that are not approvable and that we're seeing in the neighborhood are the kind of, for lack of a better term, for some of our friends from the Civic Association, the iPad type screens, which have illumination that are constantly on. If you see them in the neighborhood, they have not been approved, and that we're closely working with the folks that have installed these, which are typically building property managers that are often, but not always, absentee landlords. These will in no circumstances be something that would be approved under administrative review. And we're actively working to get these ratified. I will say that some members of the community have submitted upwards of 35 violation reports on unapproved intercom systems. I will be sending out, I will not be issuing violations for those, but I'll be sending out a notice that they are in violation of our guidelines, and to submit an application to ratify any of the unapproved Ring doorbells or any other doorbells that were not approved by the commission. So that's kind of where we are. Again, just to reiterate, for those of you listening, we will not be changing our guidelines. We're only going to be making recommendations based on the current guidelines. Any of the buzzers that deviate away from these guidelines will still require to be reviewed by the commission under design review. And that all, and just a reminder, that does include the location of the buzzer. So we do know that certain properties in the neighborhood, we do, the guidelines suggest, actually, let me back up, that it the intercoms are located within the entryway. But we know, particularly on the north slope of the neighborhood, there are a lot of tenement style buildings that have entryways that are right flush with the with the street. So that's kind of what we decided as the commission, and the graphics are coming soon. So happy to answer any questions or open it up to discussion in terms of the content of that subcommittee. And then Mark, if you'd like to take public comment on anything, you're certainly welcome to. But again,
okay, let me just, thank you, Nick. I'll just very quickly add, in case it's not entirely clear, thank you for that great summary, Nick. None of this affects whether or not door buzzers or intercom panels are either under the jurisdiction of the Architectural Commission or will be reviewed by the Architectural Commission. So you absolutely still have to make an application if you want to install a new door buzzer or intercom panel. The question is simply whether or to what extent some standardized designs, again, to be articulated perhaps at some later point, can be approved administratively. Again, they'll still be on the agenda. They'll still be noticed publicly. The public will still have the ability to make comments or ask questions about the applications in the public hearing. None of that will change. We're just trying to continually improve the process for everyone to make it as expeditious as possible. We know some of these hearings can go quite late. And one of the ways we can mitigate that a bit is to reduce the burden on the applicants who otherwise would have to come into the hearing is to approve things, certain things that are, as Nick pointed out, are such so clearly in line with the guidelines in through the administrative approval process rather than the design review process. So that's really all that we are talking about here. I think the one other thing I'll mention, Nick, is that we also, I think, one of the takeaways is a piece of homework, since a number of these Nest or Ring doorbells have already been approved by the commission, is just to establish a little more definitively just the extent of the illumination that remains when the unit is installed, but it's not being used, because I think there was some evidence that it's or some information that it's quite dim. And so we want to just establish that a little bit further. Go ahead, Commissioner Allen. Go ahead, please.
Also, just to remind everyone that there was an example of other lights, a lot like Ring Light, that actually don't shine all the time. And that might be something that we also want to, you know, show pictures of that moving forward. So the public sees that there's more than just those two things. There's others out there. They're not shining so brightly.
Yeah, that's a great point. Thank you, Ariam, that in general, we do believe, notwithstanding the proliferation of a lot of stuff that either isn't approved or won't be approved, that we are pretty confident that the technology now exists to incorporate some of these newer safety features, but in a manner that is still consistent with our guidelines. And so we just want to try to get ahead of this as much as possible, or even catch up to it as the case may be, so that going forward, we see the proliferation of designs that incorporate these more modern technologies that are at the same time consistent with our guidelines. Does anyone want to be heard about this issue? Again, understanding that we don't have a specific application or an agenda item that we're going to vote on today, but if the public wants to be heard, by all means.
Yeah, Rob, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Nick. This is Rob. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm driving, so I turned off the camera. I just wanted to just make the comment that I think it's great you're going to be working with the iPad style intercom panels. It's great that you're going to be working with some of these property owners, but as you know, and I think as the commission is aware, there are several property managers that have just ignored the commission. The one that manages the property at 24 Phillips Street is an example where I think it's been there for 3 years and they've ignored, I think, numerous letters from you, Nick. And I'm just wondering if, and I'm assuming there'll be others,
5 letters
that will probably ignore. I was wondering if there's any plans of the commission on how to go ahead and kind of enforce its guidelines with respect to those property owners. Thanks.
So I can comment. We're as a city, we are trying to work with property owners to have these violations ratified as soon as possible. The next step is to, you know, we have the ability to withhold historic sign-offs when someone is applying for exterior work that's within our purview. We don't have the ability are we, you know, we will work with them to get this ratified. But, you know, some of these properties that have been in violation for quite some time, you know, we may have some concerns in the future. So, you know, we're using the tools that we have. And, you know, hopefully we'll get some resolutions, especially because these people are, you know, supposed to be community partners. And, you know, hopefully we can hold them accountable in a timely fashion. So so next up we have for public comment is Rochelle. Rochelle, go ahead.
Again, so the Beacon Hill Civic Association states that we support updating the guidelines to include technology that improves safety and look forward to the opportunity to participate in the process of any proposed changes. End of comment.
Thank you, Rochelle. And next up, Diana. Diana, go ahead.
Thank you. Speaking as a resident, I do also support updating the guidelines. For example, in this E7 guideline, it states that they should be preferably mounted, flush mounted in the wood trim. And I have a concern about that because sometimes the least destructive way to mount these very unattractive devices, no matter how you cover them, they're unsightly, is to surface mount them. And I also believe that if you're new to this neighborhood and you're reading this guideline, you're not thinking you can do a nest doorbell at all. So it's a little confusing. And that's why I would recommend looking at the guidelines and actually updating them. There's a couple other guidelines that, you know, should also be looked at. I don't know the last time they were reviewed, but it might be important. You know, obviously the nice thing about these doorbells, and I can't contribute it completely, but if you look at the recent statistics from our police department for A1, our district is down about 16% below the 5-year average for residential burglaries, and 40% for commercial. So it's pretty significant. So there is a positive here, but I think, you know, we all want to make sure that the historic asset is not impacted. And so in order to make sure that it's minimally impacted, you want to look at the surface, how it's being applied to the historic asset, whether it's wood or brick. And so I think that the goal here is, you know, to make sure that when they go away, which they will go away because they're going to change, that the underlying asset is as intact as possible. Thanks.
Thanks, Diana. Great comments. Cool. So that seems to be all the comments that we have, Mark. So if we want to wrap this up, I think that would be fine.
Nick,
and then again,
have a question.
Yeah, go for it.
So, because I mean, correct me if I was wrong. I thought that if someone was in violation, that they actually was the financial penalty to that as well. Is that no longer true?
Our legislation does lay out fines for up to $1,000 per violation, and that every day that the violation is not ratified is a new violation. That has not been utilized at this time.
So, I mean, if we utilize it, do we think that the violations would probably stop because it would actually cost somebody money? If it costs you money, you'll probably stop.
Well, it's an important question, Ari, and so I appreciate you raising it, but it's a kind of complicated one that is probably not easily resolved at the moment. But I think, you know, the issues that the Civic Association, that Rob and others have raised are important, and that this is, I think, an example, perhaps the most relevant example at the moment of the importance of having the commission have the ability to enforce the guidelines, not just adjudicate applications that come to us. And so I think that's an issue that we should look into going forward. Let's just say that much right now.
Yeah. And Arian, I'll just add to that in that, you know, this is a community group. The commission is made up of residents, as we know, and we rely on residents to hold themselves accountable, but also hold each other accountable. And I don't think it would be, we'd be good community partners if we're constantly, you know, issuing financial fines. So, you know, we hope we don't ever need to go there, but it is in our legislation that we do have that ability to do so.
And my only reason for speaking up about this I've only been on the commission now for 3 years, but I have, in my short little time, I've seen violations go up and up and up. And I think, let's be honest with one another, if there is no...
What do you mean by up and up and up? I don't understand. I would say that if this year, actually, and I'll have the numbers for you by next week, because we do this every year now that we have our electronic system. And in fact, we're ratifying more violations, but there's no correlation to an increase in violations, except they're easier to report now because we have our online system. So I don't have any data supporting that violations are going up, so, just that they're getting ratified quicker.
Well, think of it this way. It would be a nice deterrent. Not that it's about one around trying to penalize people, but in all honesty, if I can do something, and like you said, somebody got a letter for 3 years and they're ignoring the letter, it's hard to ignore somebody saying you've got a fine to pay as opposed to here's another piece of paper that I'm going to ignore again.
Sure.
It's just a thought.
It's something to consider, yes.
I mean, what's interesting, Nick, if I could comment, is you've got two different kind of characterizations of the group, right? You've got the community members, as you said, of fellow residents, and that community pressure, you know, may be more effective, but where you've got professional organizations, property management companies as an example, who are domiciled elsewhere and it's a commercial transaction for them, you know, they're making some judgments and coming to some conclusions on their own that are likely very, very different from that which a resident in a single family home might come to in terms of how they interact with the community. So I think, you know, the notion of having this in our toolkit and having it be effective and usable is important when and if the time is right to apply it.
I agree. Yeah, that's a very good point, Ed. Yep. And, you know, yes, we'll leave it at that.
Great. Okay. In the interest of time, do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Sorry, yes, Mark.
Oh, staff updates. I'm sorry. I skipped over staff updates. Sorry about that, Nick. Please go ahead.
Yeah, no, sorry.
I looked too quickly.
I've heard it from multiple commission members that some folks have had some trouble logging on. So I just want to go over the different options that it takes to log on to our systems. This is not unique to any commission or any specific commissioner, but I just want to just give everyone just a quick tutorial, take 30 seconds. But if you can't use the link that I send you in the Google, both online or the email that I send you, all you need to do, and let me just go to this new share. So you just go to you go to boston.gov.
Yeah.
You click on public notices. Yeah. And then you're going to search by department.
Yeah.
And then the public notice will come up. And when you go there, so we go to landmarks. Then you would go here, and then you can either click this button, or you can go to the official file agenda and click the link there. Or you just copy and paste the Zoom link here. So that's always pasted on all of the announcements. So if you have any trouble, try those out. But also, it should also be in your email. And then when I email you over that list, it will link to this page. So halfway through the hearing, the public notice will clear out of the current public notices that are currently being held. You can also go to the archived public notice and find it there. See, it's right here, 5 o'clock. Click it, click here, or you go here. So just so everybody knows and that we're clear. Okay. And then lastly, I just wanted to, thank you all for your service. This is our last hearing for the year 2022. This is a volunteer job, and I think it's a very important job. I can't thank you enough as community members to help keep this community as I think one of the most beautiful communities in the country. So thank you for your dedication and your time and your efforts. It's very much appreciated. And then thank you to our partners at the Civic Association for your dedication also. So I'll get off my soapbox and whatever. So that's it. And now we can motion to adjourn.
Here, here.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Nick. for your service, exactly, and your dedication to this commission and your hard work. Much of
but it, I get paid, which, so
yes. Well, you're still working after hours, sometimes very late, and I know going out sometimes in all kinds of weather to look at stuff and make sure we're well prepared for these hearings, and the portal for which you are responsible is a terrific resource and extremely helpful, particularly in this environment where we have to meet virtually. So I thank you very much for your wise and helpful comments and just everything that you do for us. So and thank you all to my fellow commissioners likewise for your service and your dedication to this very important task. Now do we have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn. Happy New Year.
Do we have a second?
Okay. All right. Doesn't need to be seconded.
This is okay. Like a Tiny Tim moment. God bless us, everyone.
Yeah.
Okay.
All in favor of adjourning, say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye.
All opposed. Happy New Year. Motion carries. Happy holidays. Happy New Year.
Bye bye, everybody. Take care.
Bye bye now.
Next year.
Bye. Good night.